Hey guys, today I'm going to share about commitment. You know, I've done a lot of personality tests recently, like Enneagrams and Myers-Briggs and all that sort of stuff. And it's something, it's a trait that keeps coming out in me actually, is loyalty and commitment. It's something that I love. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I sort of look for it in people. And I love spending time with people who have committed. You know, I love hearing stories of people who have been married for 50 plus years who just share their stories of commitment, of faithfulness to each other, or who share honestly about the times when it's really tough and how their commitment and their determination to see it through got them through those hard times. And that's why they're still holding hands and kissing at 70, 80 years old. And I think it's incredible when I hear those stories. You know, I love hearing the wisdom that they share about how they made that commitment work. You know, I love hearing from people who have been so passionate and committed to a certain job that they just loved it so much that they again did it for 30, 40 years. It's not as common anymore. In today's society, people change jobs a lot more. But I love seeing people's commitment. I love hearing sort of those little nuggets about what saw them through the tough times. When things weren't so easy, what they did to see themselves through. And I just love it when people have been committed to a cause or been committed to a church. You know, I love those stories of people who have been part of the same church for like 70, 80 years. Not the ones who are sort of stuck in the past, but the ones who keep wanting to see God move, who keep encouraging the next generation, who even though they've been part of a church for 70, 80 years, are just as committed and just as passionate now as they were when they started. You see, commitment is such an amazing thing. And today I just want to share, it's a final series of our looking at our church culture, the culture we're building. And also today's message is the first series in our next message on Ruth. So it's a bit of a crossover point between the culture series and the Ruth series. But we're going to look at the commitment. You know, when we pull together our cultural values as a leadership team, when we're talking to other folk and just sharing, the thing that I didn't put down as a cultural value is commitment. And it was something that came out from Daryl, actually, in particular, who said, Jim, isn't this what we need in church? Shouldn't we be committed? And the phrase that sort of came out from our leaders is this: we want to be a church that's committed, and we seek to be committed to God, to each other, and to our community. Because, guys, you know, when people are committed, when people work together, often that's when we see God's plan. That's when we see God do incredible things. Often it's through the commitment and faithfulness of people. You know, guys, we live in a world where we're not encouraged to commit anymore. We live in a world where we're encouraged to change. Like, how many of you used to be a time you used to go to the same shop all the time? You'd have the same energy provider. You'd have the same job. You'd have the same spouse. And that's changed. You're sort of encouraged to shop around a lot more, even with our spouse and relationships. And guys, this is something in culture, which it's not always a bad thing. You know, not being committed to your bank or your energy provider is kind of good. You get rewards, you get treated a lot better. But we've lost that commitment. It's crept into the church. It's crept into our relationships. You know, when we don't get enough out of our church, we want to move to get some somewhere else. When we don't get enough out of our marriage, well, obviously it's not working. We need to go somewhere else. And guys, commitment is not what God's called us to do. When our friendships don't give us what we want, often we can try and do something else. But guys, we need to treat our faith and church like we treat our football team. We don't chop and change our football team. We're with it for life. And guys, I want to encourage us to be a church that is committed to God, committed to each other, and committed to our community. And I'm struck by the story of Ruth in the Old Testament. We have two books that are named after women in the Bible. We have Ruth and we have Esther, both incredible women. But Ruth is the incredible story of a woman who wasn't even a Jewess. She was a woman in Moab. And the story starts like this. It was about Naomi and her husband. And Naomi moved from Israel to Moab during a tough time, her and her husband. They had two lads and they settled in the country of Moab. And if you download the PowerPoint, which are on our website, you can see where Moab is. And what happened was there was a sort of famine hit and disaster sort of struck Naomi. Her two sons got married. They'd married two Moabite girls, Ruth and Orpah. And soon afterwards, Naomi's husband dies. Then if nothing gets worse, her two sons die. Now in those cultures, what would happen is the woman, her daughter-in-laws, would then go and marry the next male relative. But the problem was, they weren't, at least Naomi wasn't living in her country. Her male, next male relatives of her son were back in Israel. So here they are in a foreign country, living with Naomi, and things aren't great. So Naomi says to Ruth and Orpah, she says, guys, go back home. She says, I release you. She says, the problem is, if I have another son now, by the time my son's old enough to get you pregnant, what's going to happen, then it's going to be too late. You need to go home to your family, find a husband, get looked after by your mum and dad, and just live there. And you sort of understand what Naomi's doing. She's trying to get Ruth, she's trying to release Ruth and Orpah. She knows there's no future. She is a widow living in a man's world. She has no rights. She has no money. She's just a poor widow in a country where famine's about, was it hitting? And Orpah, her one daughter-in-law, says, okay, through a tear, she says, Naomi, I want to stay with you, but I understand what you're saying. She goes home. But Ruth sticks with her mother-in-law. And she says these words to her mother-in-law, which are so powerful. You find it in Ruth 1, verses 16 to 18. She says this, don't urge me to leave you and turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And I'm really struck by Ruth's commitment here. You know what? Ruth did not have to stay with her in-laws. Now, for some of you, myself included, hope he's not watching this, staying with her in-laws would be like the worst nightmare in the world, okay? Something that you just wouldn't want to do. But Ruth was committed to Naomi. Now, this commitment to Naomi was going to cost Ruth. You know, it was going to cost Ruth the future. You know, there's a good chance Ruth was never going to get married. She's going to live as a poor widow for the rest of her life if she stays with her mother-in-law, Naomi, if she sticks with her. She is leaving behind her family. She is leaving behind the religion. She's going to follow God instead and follow Naomi's God. Everything is going to change for Ruth. Her financial security is gone. As I said earlier, she's a woman in a man's world. But her love for Naomi was so strong that she couldn't leave Naomi. She was committed to Naomi. She was faithful to Naomi. And what really strikes me as we read through the rest of the story of Ruth, I encourage you to go home and read it later on, is Naomi was just as faithful to Ruth as Ruth was to Naomi. And there was this mutual faithfulness between them, this mutual commitment for the best with each other. You know, commitment works best when we're all committed together. When Naomi was committed for the best for Ruth, Ruth was committed for the best for Naomi, amazing things happen. And guys, you know what? As a church, we need to be like Ruth. We need to be committed. We need to be committed to each other. We need to be committed to God, and we need to be committed to our community. We can't just be flying off and flittering off to the next thing that seems slightly better. But actually, we need to be committed to making our church better, to be more effective witnesses, to making each other better, and to thinking about others and not just ourselves. You know, I'm really struck by Ruth's love for Naomi and Naomi's love for Ruth here. And the chapter that we often talk about love is 1 Corinthians 13. And I love the first bit. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, it is not boastful. But I love verse 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. It says this, love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. And love endures through every circumstance. You know, we could change commitment. And we could say that about commitment. Love and commitment sort of go together. We talk about being loving Christians. But love and commitment are hand in hand. And we could rephrase it like this. Commitment never gives up. Commitment never loses faith. Commitment is always hopeful. Commitment endures through every circumstance. Guys, when we're called to be a church that's committed to God, committed to each other, and committed to our community, that means we keep going. Even when it's not pretty, even though when it's tough, we want to be committed to each other. And you know, as a younger church, as a church that hasn't been around for like centuries or for years and years and years, can be so easy for us to come and go and flitter and disappear. But I believe God wants us to have a culture of commitment, committing to the cause, committing to see disciples reached and build emotionally healthy, spirit-filled disciples here in Burslem. You know, our commitment should reflect that commitment of Ruth. Our commitment should reflect this commitment of Naomi to say, you know what, no matter what, even though it's kind of worse off for me, at times I'm going to commit. Even when there might be something better down the road, I'm going to commit. Even when God isn't doing things my way, I'm going to commit to Him. You know, it really strikes me as a pastor this, that when people have a need, they rush to church. It's amazing when people need something, they're like at church. When they need God to give them the miracle, they're at church, they're at the front, they're on their knees, they're bawling out to God, please can you help me? And then when God answers the prayer, they disappear. You know, when things are going badly, they're committed to God. You know, when they're reading that prayer from God, they're promising to be missionaries in Africa. They're promising to, I don't know, give blood every single month. They're promising to do anything, to donate their house to God. You name it, they do it. But as soon as God answers the prayer, the commitment goes. It's sad. But I've seen it over and over again. And God says it's not just about being committed to Him when you need something. Commitment is also when you don't need something. Commitment is being committed to Him in the hard times as well as the good times. You know what? Ruth was committed to Naomi in the good times. Ruth was committed to Naomi in the bad times. Ruth was committed to Naomi even when it was going to cost. Because commitment costs. Commitment costs. You know, our culture teaches us this. Our culture teaches us that we're committed as long as it's doing us some good. You know, we teach ourselves, you go along to that supermarket as long as it's benefiting you. It's kind of true. You commit to your insurance company as long as it's benefiting you. You commit to your relationship as long as it's benefiting you. You commit to your church as long as it's benefiting you. Guys, that's not how it works. That's not biblical commitment. Biblical commitment is being faithful to God, being faithful to each other, being faithful to our church and the wider church in the good times and in the bad times, in the same way that Ruth was faithful to Naomi in the good times and the bad times. You know, when I look back at God, my story about God is this, is that God is faithful. God has been committed to me. The other day, I was doing some training for Kintsugi Hope about running, we're going to run some mental health stuff in our church. And I did a sort of a journey pattern, looking at my journey and my ups and my downs. And I can see God's hand over my whole life from when I was younger to now. God's, how He's been faithful to me. The song that comes to my mind, which is sort of the mantra for my life, is great is Your faithfulness, O God, my Father. You know, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As it says in Hebrews, He is always faithful. He is always loving. He is always kind. He is always committed to me, even when I'm not committed to Him. So guys, let's be a church that's committed. Let's be a church that reflects this commitment that Ruth had for her mother-in-law. And if you read through the Ruth story, as I shared earlier, you see how God was committed to Ruth. How when Ruth made sacrifices to be committed to Naomi, God did things. God did incredible things. God put her in Jesus' genealogy. That's incredible, this non-Jewish woman, this Gentile, this outcast effectively, was brought into God's story because of her commitment and her faithfulness. And it started with how she was committed to Naomi. Guys, God has called us to be committed even when things are going against us. God is calling us to be committed even when we're offended. God is calling us to be committed even when people hurt us. God is calling us to be committed even when other things, grass looks greener on the other side. God is calling us to be committed even when everything is going well and we feel like we don't need Him. God is calling us to be committed and not use other people. God is calling us to be committed in the same way Ruth and Naomi were committed. Guys, you know, as a pastor, I'm committed to you guys. I'm committed to the last cultural values we've been exploring for the last 7 weeks. I'm committed to see them happen. I'm committed to seeing a church that is raises emotionally healthy, spirit-filled disciples. I'm committed to seeing God do incredible things here on Stoke-on-Trent. Guys, are you with me? Are you with me? Are you kind of commit with me to God, commit to each other, and commit to our community? Even when it's not going to go our way, in the same way it wasn't going Ruth's way, even when the midst of bereavement, even in the midst of hurts, even in the midst of uncertainty, are you going to commit? Are you going to say, I'm committed to what God is doing? Because I believe that as we stand together as a church here in Burslem, as we commit together, that there is power in the commitment of God. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God helps you commit in greater ways that you never thought were possible. And I believe as we do it together, as we are a church that is committed to God, committed to each other, and committed to our community, we are going to see great things happen. And I am hopeful and I am dreaming dreams that we're going to see God move in Burslem and beyond in greater ways than we could ever imagine. Have a great day and be encouraged, and encourage you. Who are you going to commit to? How can you commit more to God, to church, and to each other in our community today? Have a brilliant day.